When I was asked tonight to introduce our keynote speaker who's sitting over here, the difference between him and me is probably noticeable. We share the same physique, I'm sure, and the same age, but I think our hair is pretty close to different. I didn't go to Moeller. I apologize for that. I really do. My money's still good here. It is good. I was accepted into St. Xavier High School. Boo hisses. But I said to my parents that if I could not go to Moeller, I would just force my family to move to a very small coal mining town in southeast Ohio, and I would never, ever regret that. And it was good to move out of a town that had a lot of opportunities, because if I could not go to Moeller, I needed to go somewhere much different than that. So I ended up doing that. I went to a small high school. We didn't have, I think this was our entire town right here as we look out here, pretty much. And the problem that I had with my high school, according to one of my dear friends, is that it wasn't Moeller. I know, I know it's Moeller. So Moeller's an awesome place. You've got remarkable things, Marshall's comments, the things that you're doing here, very, very amazing. You're developing remarkable men. Tonight we have a remarkable man right here, Troy Smith. They asked me to introduce him. I was excited about it. I put together a 45-minute slide presentation. I would like to start the first slide now. Or maybe not. I'm just kidding, I got an Uber waiting too, so. When I was first asked to introduce him, I jumped at the chance. First of all, I love Buckeye football. I love Buckeye football. Love Buckeye football. Love football. When I actually did go to a small town, it's called has anybody heard of Barnesville, Ohio? Yeah, Barnesville, Ohio. I am a 1974 graduate of Barnesville, Ohio. What's that? Near Caddis, near St. Clairsville, near all those things that no one's ever heard of unless you've driven on Interstate 70 and got lost, and that's when you find those places. So I love Buckeye football. I consider Woody Hayes to be the best football coach that ever graced this God's great earth. And who's with me on that? Come on. All he wanted to do was to make the tackle, because he's a competitor, and I like that kind of guy. But seriously, the second reason I was enjoying this is because Troy has a remarkable story. Here's a young man who was told he was too small to play. What are you, 6 foot in the media guide, 5'10", really what? Real life. 6 feet even. Media guide, 6 foot two. That's what Moeller does. How much did you weigh? 220s, 250 in the media guide. You know how it goes.
What's your 40 speed?
4'4 in a media guide. You know how you guys do it. That's Moeller's media guide. So he was told that Jim Tressel didn't need a quarterback, right? But Troy's high school coach, Ted Ginn Sr., he said, you need to take this guy. This is a remarkable athlete. That's what he said. He said he was a gifted athlete. He was 5 foot nothing, he's 100 and nothing. But by the end of his career, he did a lot more than just dress the last game. That's from Rudy, you guys knew that, right? So Troy took all of his opportunities to heart. In 2006, he did things that mere mortals could never achieve. And by the end of the season, he had been named an All-American, the Sporting News and Associated Press College Football Player of the Year. He was the Fiesta Bowl MVP. That actually happened the year before, but it happened in 2016. He was the Big Ten MVP, of course, the Ohio State Buckeyes MVP. He won the Walter Camp Award and the Davey O'Brien Award for the best college quarterback. And of course, Troy defied the odds again and won the 2006 Heisman Trophy. And when you consider the odds that each and every year that over 20,000 men, young men, play Division I college football. 20,000 men a year. And all play quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and defensive back. We get that. Out of 20,000 guys that decided that they wanted to play college football, one guy wins that Heisman Trophy. There's only been 81 of them. That's 81. We take them for granted. We are convinced that many of the things we personally do are, they're big. We get it. But we think someone did something bigger. So we didn't do good enough. We cannot diminish great achievements. We have to celebrate them, and we must acknowledge that our greatness is one opportunity away. And we will defy the odds and use those opportunities to become great. 81 out of more than 1 million college football players have ever won the Heisman Trophy. Think about that. 81 out of a million people. A number of years ago, I coached baseball. I coached summer baseball. I had a couple of guys on my team my last year. One of the guys, we had a couple of really good guys. We had a bunch of guys that went on to play college ball. We had one guy who decided he wanted to be a pitcher, and he was pretty decent. And he wanted to play for a while, and he went on, and he played at a Division III school. Wasn't good enough for Division I, he played Division III. Graduated, didn't get drafted, played for the Windy City Travelers out of Chicago, one game. At the end of the game, scout for the White Sox comes up to him, says, "Hey, we want you to play for us." You know what he got for a signing bonus? They bought his contract. That's all he got. Started in rookie ball, high rookie, A, double A, went to triple A. He got all the way to triple A, he got hurt. Didn't make it to the pros. And I remember he was down one time, he was a little upset, and he says, "I just didn't do it. I didn't make it to the pros. I didn't make it all the way." I said, "No, you're a pro. You have to realize that if you consider that there are 40 men on a roster, and only 20-some play, you're on a 40-man roster. You're one of 1,200 men that played baseball professionally in this country, in this world. And that's pretty amazing. And I got to tell you the story, because that man is a graduate of Moeller High School. His name was Dan Remanowski. And Dan Remanowski, he wasn't the best player, but he took every odd. He took the odds. He took the opportunities. And when I look at a guy like Troy Smith, and I say, here's a guy, again, 6 foot, didn't have the size, but he went on to become one of 81 men out of 1 million that became a Heisman Trophy recipient. He exemplifies what you do when you work hard and you have passion, and that's what we all need to do every single day. I don't care how old we are. I don't care if we're 20. I don't care if we're 50. I don't care if we're 70. Every day you wake up and you get passionate about your life and you make a difference, and that's what this man did. We need to acknowledge that. In fact, Troy is the third highest vote getter of all Heisman trophies, of all Heisman Trophy winners ever. Third. The other two, one is Reggie Bush. Does anybody know what Reggie Bush has right now? Doesn't have a Heisman. Got it taken away. And the other guy just got out of jail not so long ago. That was O.J. Simpson. Jeez. So this guy's number one. This guy is number one. I'm almost done here, really. This is a stag. I can stay up here. I got an Uber waiting. I got to go. Troy is only one of 8 Ohio State players to ever have their number retired or enshrined. One out of 8 Ohio State players in the history of Ohio State. That's friggin' awesome. That is friggin' awesome. That is friggin' awesome. He's number 10 in your program and number 1 in the hearts of many. He's a man who took nothing for granted. He took every single opportunity he had. He defied all the odds. Gentlemen and a couple ladies, I give you Troy Smith.
Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you. Thank you. Definitely have a seat. I can see a couple of them beer bellies hanging over these them belts. What's so funny too about tonight, honestly, is I had my mental geared towards talking to high school kids. I guess I read some of the notes a little bit wrong. So when I walked in here and I seen some of these matching gray hairs, you guys made me feel good. You know what I mean? more so than anything, I definitely would like to thank the Moeller family. This means a lot because it's 2019 and there has been an ample amount of years to pass. There's been so many great athletes to come along. We're the Scarlet and Gray again. So many, incredible quarterbacks. We finally got one that's getting his just due out in the media now. You got guys like Cardale Jones, who did some incredible things to bring the Ohio State team back to championship prominence back in 2014. Braxton Miller, et cetera, et cetera. And you guys chose me to come, so that means a lot. I definitely trudged through, 71's southern portion of what's going on, because it's like the Indy 500 once you get down here. They don't give two shits about your car. They will run you off the road. I definitely was calling my mom and texting my mom a couple of different times to just let her know that I was okay. The 18-wheelers are relentless. They got a job to do. I totally understand. And 71 coming down this end, we're much nicer. 71 North, you guys get after it down here. So I appreciate that. Couple things that I do want to talk to you guys about tonight, though, and I will keep it in the realm of what's on my mind and what's on my heart and what's real to me. All throughout Ohio State, through the course of becoming a quarterback, I was taught and told I should be a little different than what I was. Jokes are what they are, but the NFL is incredibly looked up upon. It's notorious. Internationally, everybody knows about it. And the thing about the NFL is everybody loves the quarterback position. With that being said, 2019 has now changed some things. Russell Wilson's success has changed some things. It's okay to be a stature guy that's, not the same. It actually kind of takes me back a little bit, because seeing Kyler Murray go through what he's going through, I get it. I heard him mention how, it really was taking a toll on him, how they kept mentioning 5'10", 5'10". You can't measure heart, can't measure his soul, can't measure determination, can't measure who the kid is. I got a chance to meet him pretty much a whole day. We talked. He's a tough kid. He's going to show a lot of people wrong. And what he's doing now is what I didn't have the strength to do back then. That was love myself. That was understand that being 6 feet flat, 72 inches was okay. It was adequate. But the NFL, collegiate sports, this conglomerate that we know to be football, builds you up to strip you down. I know it all too well. I know for a fact that when I got a chance to meet Russell Wilson, I could see the top of his head. And, yeah. But you got a beautiful wife, and at the end of every sentence is go whatever. He says, go Hawks, whatever. I mean, that's cliche. I had never been a cliche guy. I can't do that. It's never been a part of my DNA. That's what helped me to beat out some of the juggernauts that were here and in front of me as, the underdog. The black sheep, the kid that was not supposed to be in the situation that I was in. It was always fight, 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 fight mentality. And then honestly too, that led to me having incredible delusions of grandeur. Not understanding and knowing who I was, what I was supposed to be doing, or who I was going to become. It was very tough then because I didn't understand what anxiety was, what self-love meant, what anger, depression, all different forms of self-help, all different forms of mental health. These things are real. And me being the blue-collar Ohio guy that I am, I like to believe that I can take things on the chin and keep it moving. But it was chipping away at me. It was tearing me apart. It was like breaking me down like brittle, you know what I mean? And honestly, it tipped over to a lot of the off-the-field altercations that I had to go through to become the man that I am today. I wouldn't have it any other way. I know for a fact that if I was allotted, excuse my language, a shit ton of money when I first became a professional athlete, I wouldn't be here. And that's being dead serious, because the fast and flowing life that is professional sports, when you do it the right way, it can be consuming. It consumed me in understanding and knowing that, you know, a professional is what I really wanted to be. I dreamed of winning the Heisman Trophy. I actually dreamed of playing a little bit for the Browns, but I never really dreamed of being an NFL quarterback. I had always been an overachiever because I was always told that you weren't. Point blank period. I can remember multiple occasions, and I know you guys know this team all too well. St. Edward from Lakewood, Ohio.
There we go.
Yeah, that's the way I feel too. So I was there for a couple years, and I was the first black quarterback ever there. I was the first black quarterback to do a lot of things there. But if you go and look at the record books, none of those things stand because of the actual bridges that I burned on the way out. And this is because I didn't know who I was supposed to be as a kid. I was leaving the inner city of Cleveland, whether you want to believe me or not. I left a house on East 112th and St. Clair that was smack dead adjacent from Glenville High School. So I was leaving my Glenville area to travel 2.5 hours on the 326 bus across the city to go to Lakewood, Ohio, to become what they wanted me to be. I mean, it was endless things that I had to go through there. But when you guys mentioned the ability to heighten the rate for minority kids to come and get a portion of life that they don't see, that means a lot. Please don't take it lightly. For however small the percentage is, you give kids a chance. What happens is in the inner city, when we don't see, we don't know. We become the dictionary version of ignorance. And when you don't know what you don't know, you stay in the cesspool. It's a beautiful thing about life, because we always get a chance to bounce back. When you do have a small amount of empathy and sympathy in your heart, who knows where it'll take off. I know for a fact I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for a multitude of people who got me where I am today. And it didn't have anything to do with skin color. I know there's no naval pier anywhere across the nation that has Titanic-sized boats that are going to take a group or a creed of people back to a certain portion of the world. We got to learn how to live together, learn how to love, learn how to continue to stay grounded within ourselves and know that we can't do anything without the woman or man to our right or left. It means so much to me in this world that you have the ability to make a mistake and then bounce back. Honestly, if you didn't do anything, people wouldn't want to read your autobiography. You know what I mean? You ought to be for shit. That's why we love Rocky, though. You know what I mean? Buddy got knocked down a bunch of times, and we still love it because he gets back up. He shows us the actual, you know, vigor that we should have approaching life. I feel tremendously, you know, able to be here and stand and be a man and talk about these things, because I have two young babies myself. My daughter is 10, her name is Tania Lily, and my son is 7. He's a junior to myself. We just got finished doing an incredible report on gorillas. He reported in, it was awesome. You know, one major fact, he blew his classmates away, told everybody he's 7 years old. Now I was, you know, smitten when he told me. He told me that people, human beings, are bipedal, and apes and gorillas are quadrupeds. He blew me away. But it's an awesome thing, because he goes to school in Twinsburg, Ohio, a suburb that, you know, all of the kids in Cleveland wouldn't know anything about if it wasn't for sports. And my babies are introduced to different things in this world, and that means everything to me. Sports in its entirety has given me a chance to stand here in front of you and give my testament, which in the early phases I was always reluctant to give because I felt, you know, my story isn't any different than anybody else's. But this is what binds us. This is what brings us together. The ability to know that some of the ups and downs that I've been through, you've been through also. The ability to look you guys in the eye and say thank you for the chance and opportunity to give my testament, my two cents on how we can be better, more self-love, more happiness, and more understanding that you are enough. You are adequate. I'm gonna give you one story as far as my Ohio State days goes. And this was one of the driving forces that really pushed me into wanting to insert myself like a madman into the last game of the year against that team up north. It has everything to do with, God rest his soul, Earl Bruce. He was the one initially to spark and put fire, you know, in my red shirt freshman rear and behind like no other. And it was because every year, annually, when that game would come, Earl Bruce would come and give us his spiel on the different things that happened when he coached, when he was helping out, et cetera, et cetera. More so when he coached. And the one story that every year he told, and because Earl was Earl, you know, coming of age, it changed every year and I loved it, you know. It got a little bit more intense. He got into a couple more fights. You could just tell it was, you know, Earl being Earl. So basically the story was, you know, one of the games that we had got a chance to play the team up north and he was coaching, it was a away game. And you gotta forgive me because it's gonna be vague because it's always switched up throughout the course of the years. But the moral of the story was how tough he was and how tough they weren't. So his whole thing was the headset had died during the game. Okay, so now we figure out we either gotta do major signals along the way or we gotta figure out a different way to get to plays. He said, well, this is back in the day and you guys don't know anything about it, but you know, we used to walk everywhere. So I walked up the stadium stairs to get the play. So, okay, obviously we're already taken back. Come on, Earl, we know you're not stopping the game to walk up the stairs to get the play, but okay, cool. So he continues the story. And as I'm walking up the stairs, the score is 14-7. We're leading. One Michigan fan grabs my collar and he pulls me. We're gonna kick your ass. So I get off his shirt. I walk 5 more stairs. Another lady grabs me, we're gonna kick your ass. I walk about 10 more flights of stairs, another lady grabs me, Earl, we're gonna kick your ass. So finally, he gets to the booth, gets the play call, and you know, we're on the edge of the seats. We're worrying about what he's gonna say next. Earl, what happened? Did you make it downstairs? What do you mean, make it downstairs? I was on the sideline the whole time. Earl, come on, man. You just told us to, you know what I mean? So as Earl is telling his story, you're a young guy. There's nothing that you can do because every year the story changes. So in essence, Earl didn't leave the sideline. He was still there the whole time. I can't tell you that the actual headphones didn't bust up or didn't break, but just know that when Earl Bruce was around, you know what I mean? For me to get implemented into those games during around that time, it was always Earl putting a little bit more spice on the story, and I loved it every single time. That game is the game of all games, and I think Ryan Day going into this year is going to continue to whoop some more butt, so we should feel a little bit more content at the end of the year. But if it wasn't for guys like Earl Bruce blazing that trail and putting us all in a position to really, 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 really want to stick it to the team up north, we wouldn't be having this actually, you know, all the success that we're having. So, you know, it's a great tradition, great love all the way through. This year, 2019, I think we're going to do some great things. Got some more quarterback talent that really blew me away when it, you know, came through the wire. Justin Fields should be another good one. And I don't know if it's going to be an aerial assault that we just seen with Dwayne Haskins because we were just spoiled with all of that. But you know, moving forward, I think we should feel very, very good and content with the talent that we have on, you know, moving into the season 2019. I appreciate you guys having me. Anytime that I can, you know, share tidbits on my life to help you guys understand, you know, just a little bit more of what Ohio State athletes go through, give me a call. Appreciate you guys.